Can't believe this is my last sermon before we head off to the big trip to New Zealand. Goodness me. I've been planning this for 42 years, right? 43 years, beg your pardon. And then in the last few months, I've really been planning it. I'm a planner. You can see my two sides of A4 checklists. But you know, I might be a planner, but it's in my genes because it comes from God, because God is a planner. And I want to speak today about being part of God's plan. God is a planner. He created the world. He created human beings. He even planned salvation. And one of my favorite scriptures is this, Ephesians 1:4-5. Long ago, before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family and by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. God is a planner. And you are the heart of God's plan. You are at the heart of it. He planned a plan to rescue you and through you rescue others. And everyone, regardless of what role you've got, you think you are, what you do, what talents you think you have or haven't got, you are all important parts of that plan. You might have different roles, you might have different strengths and abilities, but we are all equally important. And in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you, God who works in you, to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose." This plan is all about you, to rescue you, but the plan is always his plan. And that's where we get a little bit mixed up sometimes, because we think our plan supersedes God's plan. And no, it does not. We are a part of his plan. We are at the heart of his plan, but the plan is always his plan. And how many know that when we've got in the driving seat and got hold of the steering wheel, we go off road and need God to bring us back, yeah? And in Romans 8:28, we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those, you know, people stop there. They like to quote that verse. God works everything in my life for good. No, only for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. There's a big difference. And Psalm 33:11 says, "The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." So the eternal purpose and plan of God has no expiry date. It is firm forever. Just get that in your head. Think, and we've talked this morning about changing this world. God's plan still for this world is forever. It's not going to change. But the earthly part of the plan for each of us does have an expiry date, doesn't it? We only have one life to live on this earth that can be lived out according to God's plan. And when God calls you home at the end of that earthly life, that phase of the plan for you and for me is ended. And we then enter a next phase after death, living in the presence of God forever, because that's a part of the plan. He created us to live forever with him. So it's important, I think, to make the most of this earthly part of God's plan for our lives. Really important. It might not last long, but it's really important. We only get one shot of it, so we really ought to make the most of it. And in Acts 13:36, Luke says that David, King David, served God in his generation according to the will of God. So God has a plan for David. You read the book, God knows he's going to make him king, etc. He served God's plan in his generation according to the will of God. And then he died and was buried and his body decayed. You know what I get from that? Everyone is a part of God's plan. Everyone, God has a purpose for everyone on this earth. And while you are still breathing, you still have a purpose. Right? If you had no purpose and no further part in the plan, you would not be here. Because what's the point? Right? Paul says, "I'm running the race. And he could see the finish line. We don't know where the finish line was, but he knew when the finish line happened, he was going to be with Jesus. And at some points in his life, he was so fed up with stuff, he was saying, God, please, it'd be easy if you just take me now, because I want to be with you. So whatever you are breathing, you still have a plan and a purpose that God has got for you. And the overall call and purpose of God for us remains the same throughout our lives, but it may be outworked and look differently in the different seasons of our lives. So God has a plan for us, and that doesn't change, but how it's outworked can change throughout and needs to be altered and outworked differently through different phases of our lives. And I read this to my life group the other week. Told you I was going to speak on it, didn't I, guys? I caused a riot. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 to 7, all right? And that's where we're going to take my main sermon from today. The first bit of that is honor and enjoy your creator while you are still young. Now, you can define what young is, okay? I'm not going to start offending anyone. I no longer count myself as young. I had my flu jab this week. That means I'm at least over 65. Which is the benefits of getting older. I get a free flu jab and a COVID one, hopefully. I was getting that in my arm before October the 11th, but hey, whatever. Do you see, mate? You see, there is advantages to being old, but if you are young and you can determine whether you're young or not, some of you are young, but you kind of, you know, don't think you're as young as some other people, but it doesn't matter. If you are young, then harness the positives that come with your youth and early adulthood. Don't be put off what God's calling you to do, saying, well, I'll do it later when I've got a bit more time or a bit more money or a bit more knowledge or when I feel like I can do it. Don't put off God's plan and purpose for you while you are young with any of those excuses, saying you'll do it later when you're older, because there's a good chance if you start doing that, you will never do what God's told you to do, because you'll always find an excuse and a reason. Use your energy, enthusiasm, and confidence. And you might say, well, actually, there's one big thing I lack, and that's wisdom and experience, so I'll leave it to the older ones. No, no, no. That's why we have a multi-generational church here at Horizon. And we've got to value that multi-generational church. Younger people choose to hang out with the older generation. It might not be cool to the people that you work with, but choose to hang out with older people. When was the last time you, younger person, invited someone out for a coffee or invited yourself to their house so they can't get out, hang out for a coffee, and found out about their faith, their early experiences? What was the biggest miracle you've seen in life? What's the biggest answer to prayer? There is a wealth of knowledge and experience, life experience, spiritual experience in this church. Younger people choose to grab hold of that. An older generation, whoever you are, don't be shy in mentoring, encouraging, and championing those younger than you. Don't be shy in doing that. In fact, I'd say step up to do that. See, when Gideon was called by God to go and rescue the nation of Israel from the Midianites, who had been a right pest to them, he started to talk to God, well, why are you going to choose me? Because I'm an insignificant person in an insignificant family in a tribe that's the weakest. All this reason why you can't use me. What did God say to him straight off? He ignored all of that and he said, go with the strength you already have. And I would say to any person that classes themselves as younger, go in the strength that you've already have. And you will pick up and God will give you everything you need as you go. But if you stay where you are and you expect a massive spiritual, mega, supernatural experience to turbocharge you, to make you bristling with everything that you need to fulfill the plan that God's called you to do, it's never going to happen. You have to start to put one foot in front of the other and go. So, enjoy your creator while you're still young. And if that's the season of your life at the moment, for goodness sake, do that. Now, the writer does skip, in my Ecclesiastes passage you'll see in a minute, he goes from young people at the beginning on verse 1, and then he skips straight through to old people, old age. And there's a lot that happens in between these two seasons, aren't there? Right? There's a world of work, relationships, potential marriage, families, church, etc. But I have not got time to go there. My Ecclesiastes passage doesn't include that. I'm just doing the young bit and the old bit today. So here we go. Let's read the passage together. Honor and enjoy your Creator while you are still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes, before your vision dims and the world blurs, and the winter years keep you close to the fire. Have you noticed elderly people? When you go to their houses, it's like walking to a blinking sauna, you know, and then when you don't have them round for dinner because you've got to turn the heating up for 4 weeks beforehand to get to the controlled temperature that they're not going to freeze to death with. In old age, your body no longer serves you so well. Muscles slacken, grip weakens, joints stiffen. When the grinders cease because they are few, that's your teeth. Your teeth fall out. People are going, my life drips all over the place with this. I'm like, oh, that's me. And those looking through the window grow dim, that's your eyes. The shades are pulled down on the world. You can't come and go at will. Things grind to a halt. The hum of the household fades away. Your hearing goes a bit deaf. You are wakened now by bird song, because you wake up that early in the morning, you can't get back to sleep. Hikes to the mountains are a thing of the past. Even a stroll down the road has its terrors. Honestly, as you get older, anxiety, and you can't seem to cope with stuff. You kind of think the worst of things, or what's that going to happen, whatever. And it's just there. Your hair turns apple blossom white, adorning a fragile and impotent matchstick body. Well, some of us haven't got matchstick bodies yet, but I think the older they get, you do. Yes, you're well on your way to eternal rest, while your friends make plans for your funeral. Beating you to it, I've got a funeral plan, okay? So mine's paid for. What they do at the service is up to them. Life's lovely while it lasts is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body is put back in the same ground it came from. The spirit returns to God who first breathed it. Do you know about, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, when I was in verse 1, when I was younger, I didn't think about old age in myself. It was for other people, and it would never come near me. How wrong could I have been? So does old age mean that we are no longer active, an active part of God's plan? Certainly not. But it does mean to say we have to adjust to what our bodies, our brains, our minds, and emotions can cope with. I remember at one point in my life setting up and running and being an integral part of 3 local Christian charities and 1 national Christian charity, as well as having a family, running the home, and working for a church. I look back on that now and think, how the heck did I do that? Because I was in verse 1. I could not do that now. Not to the same level, so I handed all of the charities over. And the same with Horizon. Sure, we could still be senior pastors. He's still got his ministry status. We could lead the church. But rest assured, it would slow down to the pace of our increase in years. We would have not had the capacity to launch Alpha like he has. Right? So we recognized that was coming. So we chose to step back and give that to Jamie and say, Jamie, we're going to be biggest cheerleaders. Run with the baton, boy, and we'll try and keep up. But we are not keeping the baton because we would just slow down. And we love you, and we love this estate that we're trying to reach so much that we don't want that to happen. You see, it's not over when you get older, but it is different. And I read this in my Bible readings recently. My sermons tend to get triggered by 1 or 2 scriptures, and then they stew in the slow cooker. And then you get this rubbish that comes out that really, you know, encourages you about old age. 2 Chronicles 35:1-6. I haven't got it up there because it's too long. Josiah. Now, Josiah became king when he was 8 of Israel, and at 16 he started to seek God, which is really good, and he threw out all the idols and stuff. At 26, God had worked in his life so much, he started to rebuild the temple. In rebuilding the temple and getting it back to where it should be, because people had just worshipped other idols, they found the law. And when they found the law, he realized how far away they were from God. So he started to get people back together. So he sought the temple out, got people together. And this is taken, this is what's just happened to him. We're reading from 35, chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem on the appointed day in early spring. The Passover lambs were slaughtered at twilight of the day. Thank goodness we don't live in that day when we have to slaughter animals to worship God. Josiah also signed the priests to their duties and encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites who had been set apart to serve the Lord and were teachers in Israel. Since the ark is now in Solomon's temple, and you do not need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders, spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the written instructions of King David of Israel and the instructions of son Solomon. Then stand in your appointed holy places and help the families assigned to you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lambs, purify yourselves, and prepare to help those who come. Follow all the instructions that the Lord gave through Moses. Now, these were the guys that God had chosen to carry the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle was quite a big structure. It was very organized. He's a planner. You guys are going to be in charge of the poles. You're going to be in charge of this. You're going to carry that. You're going to do that. You're going to move it along till I say stop. Then you're going to set it all up. Then it's going to be used. And then you're going to pack it all down. Then you're going to carry it until I say stop. These guys were integral for God's presence to be in the middle of his people, because that's where it was, right in the middle, and everyone else camped around about it. These people had an important job to do. They were physically carrying stuff, but it was important because if they didn't carry it, they couldn't set it up. And if they didn't set it up, God could not be in the middle of the people, because they needed to see his presence, because they forgot quite quickly. And he had to be there in the middle. They had an important job. But Josiah's gone like, hang on, guys, you had a job to do, which is no longer relevant, because we now have a building, a structure, permanent structure called the temple. The ark is in there. We don't need a tabernacle anymore. So what are you guys doing? You've got an anointing on you. You are called as Levites to bring the presence of God into the middle of his people, but you don't need to carry the tabernacle. So come on, guys, dust yourselves off, get on with it. You've got a new job. I'm assigning you to not carry it, but to help people as they come to the temple, to be able to slaughter these animals, to help them come to the Passover, to purify themselves. Get on with it. Get on. It's a new phase. These guys had a vital role to play then. And just because we had a permanent temple, God's saying, you've still got a vital role to play, because I have given you that anointing and that job to do. The job was no longer needed, but they were. The job was no longer needed, but they were. And Romans 11:29 says, for God's gifts and his call can never, never be withdrawn. So when God's called you and he's given you a gift, he's not going to take that back. It's there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and wasting away, and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce in us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. If you're thinking, my body can't keep up with what I used to do, God's still got that call on your life. You just have to find a way to serve him with the limitation of your energy, your strength. I mean, I've got photos of me digging trenches and stuff out there and whatever. I've had to look through some photos for whatever's happening next week, for way back when. And at New Life Christian Center, I don't know why I did it. Well, I do, because I love the people. I had a couple that may be here next week, I don't know. Tim and Jean, they got married, didn't have much money. And they wanted nearly the whole church to come. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll do your reception. I tell you, Elaine, I'll get the picture out, I'll show you. It frightens me to death now. I look at it, we hired a school hall. I cannot remember how many hundreds of people there were. I got all my team of young people serving with white shirts and black trousers and skirts and little ties and whatever. And we managed a three-course reception meal for all of that. I was dead at the end of it. I'm dead thinking about it now. I just haven't got the capacity, right? I could never do that. In fact, Elaine and I have said we couldn't go back to cooking in that kitchen for Wednesdays because we don't physically have that capability anymore. But does that mean we're off? We're obsolete? God's plan and purpose in our lives is finished? No, because I'm still breathing. We're still breathing. So he's got a job for us to do. Now then, where did I get to? Right, you've got a purpose. Find it. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. And Ephesians 5, 16 to 17, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. He still wants us to do things in this evil world. Psalm 71, 18, now I'm old and grey, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. That's why we've got a multi-generational church. There's so much to learn from our older people and that wisdom. Younger people of Horizon, don't write off the older generation. Now, I am indebted to Marina for this. This is a bit of a lightheartedness. It is a well-known preacher, Chuck Swindoll, in America. I don't think it's his story because he's reading it off a screen. He's obviously picked it up off Twitter or whatever. But young people, do not write off old people. Play the clip, please.
I am 83 years old. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru this morning. The young lady behind me leaned on her horn and started mouthing some ugly things because I was taking too long to place my order. So when I got to the first window, I paid for her order along with my own. The cashier must have told her what I had done because as we moved up, she leaned out her window and waved to me as she began mouthing, thank you, probably feeling embarrassed that I had repaid her rudeness with kindness. When I got to the second window, I showed the server both receipts and I took her food too. And start all over again. Don't blow your horn at old people. We've been around for a long time. Let me do it one. I love it.
Don't write off the older generation. They've still got it in somewhere. That's so funny. Young people of Horizon, don't write off the older generation. Rather draw from their wisdom and experience and ask them, invite them to invest in your life. You know, you can ask them. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them for advice. And older people of Horizon, your call and purpose is irrevocable. Find a way to use it in whatever circumstance or season of life you find yourself in. You may not have the physical strength or stamina you once have, but invest in the lives of others that can take your mentorship and use their youthfulness to achieve what you now can't do yourself. That's why we're a multi-generational church. So my application today for us are things to think about, are two things really. One is, recognize you're called and what God has called you to do. For some of us, we need to go and reclaim it. We need to restate it. We need to reinstate it. And we need to rediscover it. Some of you have written yourself off either through age or mistakes. And God's saying, my call is irrevocable. You're still breathing. Get on with my purpose. And the second question I'd like to ask us is, young people, who can you learn from? Who can we learn from in our church? Who can we learn from? And older people, who can you encourage or invest in? Because that is how God wants us to work. And there are lots of passages in scripture where the early church is told, older people do this, younger people do that. Go read it for yourself. But let's just take that to heart for the moment. What has God plan and purpose for you? Let's rediscover it. Let's restate it, reinstate it. Let's embrace it. And let's encourage the younger generation that can do things far better and faster and for longer than we could ever do. And as I get older, and that I've moved from Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 into Ecclesiastes verse 2 to 7. And each of those things, I'm thinking, yeah, my knees click, my back. I have to, don't ask me out for a meeting at 8 o'clock if you want any sense out of me. I mean, I like to be in bed for 9:30, for goodness sake. Honestly, my son and daughter wear me out through what time they go to bed and what they're doing. Do you know where Rachel's in Tennessee organizing this conference that she's doing? Do you know where Andrew flew out to this morning? Geneva. They've got a church plant in Geneva, and he's leading and pastoring that church this morning and equipping people. And then he's flying back tonight. I'm like, he wears me out thinking about it. Because he's in verse 1. I'm not in verse 1. And my dad used to annoy me so much. He used to, and mum's bordering on there at the moment, to say, when they're hearing about what I'm doing, Judith, just slow down. Slow down, just take it slowly. Don't overdo it. We want you to, for the long term, just slow down. And I had to say to my dad, just sitting down one day, and say to dad, look, dad, you are seeing my life and what I'm doing through your eyes and how you feel currently at your age. I understand that. I said, but that's not how I feel. So you have to let me do what I think I can do and just encourage me. And I have to do that with my son now. I never say to Andrew, sometimes I say, you need to rest and whatever, but I never say to him, stop doing that, stop running at that pace, because all he has to do is point me back to when I did hundreds and hundreds of people's reception and whatever, and wore myself into the ground serving God because I was in verse 1. And I never regret being in verse 1, but I'm having to learn to adjust to be in verse 2 to 7. Let's do the same.